The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
It is that time again, and welcome to Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. So happy to have my friend John Crossman back in today. John's one of my regular guests on Afternoons with Mike, and for good reason. And today, we have a very special, exciting reason, because we're celebrating the fact that John's daughter is a rising star. Now, John always knew that. Welcome, John.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always great to see you, friend.
Well, I tell you, it's always a blast to have you on. And I wasn't just kidding when I said rising star. John's oldest daughter, Claire, was recently given that award. It's a name. And obviously, when you have the name rising star, that indicates a lot going into that. That indicates that she's a young lady that has been recognized for her values, for her character, for her leadership in many areas. So why don't you fill us in on all the blanks?
Sure, absolutely. Well, she's always been a pretty special kid. You know, when she was four, she didn't want to hold my hand anymore because she really wanted to be a young lady. You know, she was always sort of like leaning out a little bit. And I've always admired about that, you know, strong woman. And she does a lot of cool things at school. She's a junior heading into her senior year, and she'll be on the cross country team for the fourth year. And that's great. And she's got a beautiful voice. She's a singer. She's done solos and big productions. And so that's part of her life.
All of this is being said like a true loving dad. And and I absolutely love that.
I appreciate it. She's got a great GPA. I mean, so she's a smart kid and all those things. What I think is so interesting, though, is that she really has in her that she wants to make a difference and make an impact. And she had come with this idea of starting the Republican Club at her high school. High school is a big public high school. They have a Democratic Club. They did not have a Republican Club. And so to make that choice, you know, that's a pretty scary thing.
Yeah, because on the college or high school campus, either one, both of those, to make a stand and to be different than the status quo means, in many cases, you standing truly alone and possibly suffering some maybe isolation because of it.
Sure. Well, and it's funny, too, because there's that, and then there's the not letting it go to the extreme the other way, you know? So, for example, well, let me also say this. When she started working on founding it, you know, one of the things she and I talked about is it's not the Trump Club, you know, it's the Republican Club, mm-hmm. right? And so, and it's not about beating any other club or anything. It's about, you know, sending out that messaging of Republican conservative values and promoting those things, you know? Well, when she first went live with it and it was put on Instagram and this kind of thing on social media, some kid posted on Instagram, all Republicans should be hung.
Oh, man.
And you think about that.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, substitute any group of person instead of Republican, and you would say, gosh, somebody should get expelled for something like that.
And why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Well, you know, who
that
knows?
That sounds like a threat.
It does. But I would tell you that that's the thing where it's like, you know, Claire has really had some wisdom there of, hey, we're going to promote these values. Some things like that may happen, but we're not going to respond back and say other mean things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to be encouraging. We're going to be helpful. She came with the idea of like, hey, maybe we should do a charitable thing in conjunction with the Democratic Club and see who can raise more money, you know, like have a competition that way, that kind of thing. So I really have respected her worldview and her mm-hmm. positioning on
yeah.
it, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's been good to sort of walk through this season. I will tell you, my wife had a lot of hesitation about it, wants to protect our daughter. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've had moments of that as well, you know, just being concerned about, just as a parent, you don't want your kid getting attacked or had mean things said to them.
Or
right?
even ostracized
yeah.
unnecessarily.
Right, yeah. right, right. But, you know, my daughter being in chorus, obviously she has friends of very different political views, and she has friends that are LGBT, part of that community, and she loves them. She absolutely loves them, and she's in relationship with people from very different views, and yet, you know, what her values are her values. And so, again, that line of, like, having people you're close to that you agree with things on, and having other relationships, people that are different, and respecting each other. Those are all real healthy mm-hmm. things, mm-hmm. right? And I'm glad that she's learning them at this age.
That's wonderful. Congratulations to Claire. And this Rising Star Award shows the fact that she had not only leadership giftings, but something that I believe every true leader has is the initiative aspect of their gifting that would make them take the lead and start something where there has not been something that was needed. And to take that initiative and to go with it and to see it through, that's just not every day that you have a high schooler do that,
yeah.
especially when you're talking about, again, something that could bring back some pretty strong feelings against her and maybe some people that she would otherwise like to reach and be friendly with, that they could be mean. And, you know, this whole thing, John, I don't know if she's ever come across it or not, but bullying has been, that has been a big thing on high school campuses for years.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And if you are openly conservative, you can get a lot of crazy pushback on that, right? I will say something just on a fun side of things, that last week in the mail was a handwritten note, handwritten outside envelope, inside two-page handwritten note to Claire congratulating her from Jeb Bush. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
And then yesterday I brought the mail into house, and there was two envelopes, and one was from the U.S. Senate, one was from the House of Representatives, and there was a handwritten note from Marco Rubio. And then a handwritten note from Madison Cawthorn.
Wow.
And so that was pretty big. And so, you know, I telling her, like, to have those three notes, you know, like a former governor, a U.S. senator, a member of U.S. Congress, like, you're going to treasure those. And I'm so grateful for all three of those gentlemen sending her mm-hmm. those notes of congratulations, because, you know, we all know that kids need encouragement. And when a kid takes a step, and, you know, it's putting gas in their tank, you know. And I would add this, too, that March is, you know, Women's History Month, and acknowledging women. And so for Claire to take the step as a woman in leadership and then have a women's organization honor her, my mother, who these days rarely leaves her house, she's 82 years old, and my mom, who's a lifelong Democrat, came and stayed through it and really enjoyed it and was so proud of Claire, because, again, bigger than party, it's affirming a young woman mm-hmm. rising up into leadership.
Very and that's cool. what she's doing. And, you know, one of the things that it excited me about this, and, you know, one of these days we're going to have Claire on with us.
Absolutely.
And talk about that, because I love getting the viewpoint of some of these young people. And for a number of years, ever since the term millennial started being talked about, of course, Claire would be below that age group.
Right.
She's not a millennial, but we've heard the millennials downed by so many people
mm-hmm.
and in Generation Z, I guess,
right.
which would be what Claire would be.
Right.
Sometimes in the same ballpark, not necessarily uplifting descriptors are given, and people say these things. I don't think they mean them as harshly as they come across, but they can be general statements that are wide reaching. We used to call them sweeping statements.
Right.
You know, that are just like broad brush type of generalizations. And it just isn't fair to do that.
No.
Because you have a person like Claire who is excelling and really leading out among her peers. It is something that needs to be commended. It needs to be recognized. And I think it needs to be celebrated as what she has been.
Absolutely.
So kudos to that group. What was the group that did that?
It's the Orlando Women's Republican Federation. And outstanding group, been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun being with them. Just, again, a group of really strong women encouraging and supporting one another. It's pretty cool.
You know, we're living in a time, John, and you've seen this. I know you're very active. And just to give you a heads up, I want to ask you, I know you've been very busy. You've been appointed to some boards recently.
Yep.
I'd like to hear about that. But you're one of the guys out there that I would consider to be connected, and to realize that when I say connected, I mean, you know, people all over the place. I have people tell me all the time, because they know I know you. So they say, yeah, how did you get to know John Crossman? And this guy's really, he's everywhere. And I said, yeah, he is. He's everywhere. And, you know, it's so cool that we work in the same building, literally.
Right.
And you're downstairs and always popping up here and seeing me here in the studios. And I love that. But, you know, when I think about this connectedness on a different age group, a different age bracket, and that's where Claire is, to think about the fact that she is starting right now at this age group, with being in her age group and doing good things, that to me says that some of these broad brush generalizations are not only unfair and unwise, they are untrue.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things I've been honored to do, I've done 9 times for Senator Marco Rubio, is the Military Academy Appointment Committee. And so I've done 4 times the Naval Academy, I've done Air Force Academy 4 times, and I've done West Point once. And when I do that and I sit in a room and I'm in a room all day on a Saturday and I meet with between 25 and 30 high school seniors from across Central Florida, the worst one is awesome. You know, they're all 1400 SATs and could do 100 push-ups and play the trombone. I mean, it's crazy. There's a lot.
It's just not fair to have that kind of skill, man.
I know, right? Well, and you know, and I have a younger daughter named Ava, and Ava's on the weightlifting team at the high school. I've been to the girls' weightlifting competitions are awesome. They're so cool to go to. And she does sign language as her foreign language, and she's playing guitar.
Most importantly, that I was going to say that if you didn't say it, one of her finer crowning achievements is learning to play guitar. Yes, Ava, go.
I appreciate it. And so my point is, like, there's a lot of talent out there. And I think that the other thing is that sometimes in life we can get stuck in the bad dog syndrome. You know, if you have a dog and you're always saying bad dog, bad dog, bad dog, you know, that's not really healthy. At some point you got to be like, say, you know, affirm good behavior. Mm-hmm. And the same is true as a parent or as a manager, like highlighting when good things are happening. And so we see young people making really wise, you know, healthy decisions. Let's affirm that. Let's affirm those things. Mm-hmm. And those things should come above, you know, political views sometimes and things like that. Like just affirming somebody for stepping on an issue is a good thing.
Mm. I know that you and your wife are very active in your girls' lives. And that's something that I think makes a difference. I wish that every child, and sadly, John, it's become more and more true in recent years, many of the children that Claire would go to school with would not have the parental support. Number one, they often don't have a living at home dad with them, or sometimes it's the other way. They have a dad, but they don't have a mom. They don't have this, what would be considered the historic family unit of a dad and a mom. And I am personally convinced that a child is always going to be healthier, or most of the time. Maybe that was too broad too. Most of the time will be healthier, more secure, more stable if they have a dad and a mom at home. And assuming that they have a dad and a mom that is getting along and on the same page,
right,
and living in harmony with their kids. And when you have a healthy a mom and dad environment in which to grow up, that makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference. That said, let me add on to that. And I also want to say this in the context of giving people maybe another perspective and hope for maybe some people who are struggling. And that is this, is that my wife has had some serious health issues in the last couple of years. And some of that health issues have become so serious. There have been seasons where I've really functioned like a single parent, you know, and we've had, you know, tears in our house about mom not being available for certain things. And so one of the best decisions I ever made was about 2.5 years ago. I put both my daughters in counseling every single Saturday, and like they don't miss. Now, sometimes it's one, sometimes it's both. Sometimes they split the time. But I share that with you to say I saw, because of my wife's medical issues, her inability at some levels to function fully as a mom in some ways. And, you know, I'm not Superman as much as I want to try to tell my girls I am. And so there were some aspects that got that missed. And so humbly asking for help is key. And then also being honest about our feelings and having some mourning about things. And my wife's health, praise the Lord, miraculously has gotten a lot better.
Thank God.
I'm so, this is such a big deal. And yet we still have been walking through this, a new season of adjusting to having her back and being more energetic and involved. And I listened to my daughter and my wife have a conversation the other night where my wife apologized to my daughter for not being as available as she needs to be. So I say that to say that if anybody's listening to this and they find themselves in a situation where they are a single parent, you can still do it. You can absolutely still really raise a great kid. And there's lots of ways that you can augment and make changes to adjust. I think the key is you got to tell the truth and be honest and don't be afraid to feel your feelings and have some sadness. And there's been seasons in this, it's been lonely. And there's been seasons where all I did was hold my girls while they cried, you know?
And that is a big thing when they need to cry and they've got the arms there that their dad extends out to them. I mean, that is a huge deal. No parent does it perfectly. And that is not even the need. Because first of all, if it were the need, then it would, the need would never get met.
Right.
Because there's no perfect parent.
Right.
And when you add in things like what your wife has gone through with illness that is debilitating, there are going to be those little gotchas. And I think it's great that both of your girls had an outlet that they could share what's going on in their hearts and, you know, keep up with what is happening at heart level.
Yeah.
And to have that kind of help, that's great as well.
Can I just share with you real quick? I've got a friend of mine, and he went through a hard divorce, and he's got a teenage daughter. And we were talking about it, and he was telling me about how his teenage daughter was being really mean to him and hard to deal with. And I asked him if he wanted my opinion. He said he did. And I said, listen, you got to fight for her. Mm-hmm. You got to fight for her. You know, every movie for teenage girls about love is, you know, the girl runs from the boy and the boy chases her. In reality, it doesn't happen. I'm like, but a young lady needs to be chased. She needs to be pursued. You got to pursue her. And there was a coolest thing where it was her birthday and she canceled the birthday plans with him. And he leaned in, showed up anyway, still took, and they ended up going great. But, you know, he needed a little bit of encouragement of like, you know, you got to love them bigger than they're able to love you at times, you know? And we think about, I've got a brand new grandniece and she's 3 weeks old. She's perfect. She's never going to do anything wrong. but I think just like she needs to be held, you know, my 15 and 17 year old daughter, sometimes they just need to be held. Sometimes they need me to apologize to them and say, gosh, I made a mistake, you know, and ask for forgiveness. And then sometimes they just need me to be around, you know, they still do a good job of getting on me about reminding me to be present, you know, which is, I have trouble with that sometimes too, but I appreciate what they've brought into my life, helping me to be a better person too.
Mm-hmm. John Crossman is my guest today. John is the president of Crossman Builders. What is the exact title of your company? Career Builders?
Yeah, it's Crossman Career Builders. Mm-hmm. And that's the company I do predominantly my charity work underneath, and the scholarships and endowments. And you know, we were going to talk about Bethune-Cookman. That's another one.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of the busy things that John's been about lately, because there's not usually much grass under John's feet. He's wearing it all out as he's moving and grooving everywhere he goes. John Crossman, my guest on Afternoons with Mike. We'll be right back. Back again here in the studio at the Shepherd Studio in Orlando, and I'm talking to John Crossman, Central Florida business leader extraordinaire, and he has his own company. In fact, you have a couple of your own companies. You not only have the career builders, but you have Crossmark as well, and I know you're involved in real estate with that. That's how I first heard about you, was your real estate development years.
Right.
And
yes.
I know you were involved with Publix for a long time.
Correct.
And lots of experience in that, and a CEO that has been recognized by the Orlando Sentinel as one of the top area CEOs in Central Florida. Not a bad commendation. And then beyond that, you are involved with your heart in so many different organizations, and included in those has been Bethune. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about the recent appointment, and congratulations already to what has happened in your life here.
Thank you so much. You know, I do the things I do because I feel called to do them. And I feel like the Bible's real. What we're called to do is real. and taking the opportunities with the platform and skills I have to make an impact is a very big deal to me.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad became friends with Oswald Bronson, who was the longtime president of Bethune-Cookman University, probably close to 50 years ago. And if you remember old school churches, Protestant churches, you'd have big pulpit, little pulpit. Big pulpit's the word of God. Little pulpit's a bake sale. And my dad would give up his pulpit, which is very rare, particularly in that era, when a pastor's in town to give up the pulpit. He would give it to Dr. Bronson, and Dr. Bronson would bring in his concert chorale. So if you can think about it being the late 1960s, and then this 1970s, 1980s, and even mm-hmm. the early 1990s, that was really unheard of, because you're putting an African-American man in a position of power over a white congregation. And, you know, it was a powerful thing to do. I know that my parents got some hate mail back in the day on that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But it was a great thing to do. And what it did for me was, to this day, my favorite music is black gospel music. Absolutely my favorite. And I knew about Bethune-Cookman before I knew about Florida State, University of Florida, UCF. I knew about Bethune-Cookman. And so I grew up with that in my heart. And I think I've told you this, that when my dad was dying in 2006, his last wish before he passed away is that we endow a scholarship at Bethune-Cookman University. And we did. And then years later, I endowed the first real estate scholarship there. So I've always had this heart connection with Bethune-Cookman. And this opportunity came up for me to join their board of trustees, which happened last month. And so now I'm on the board of trustees at Bethune-Cookman University. And one of the things I would tell you is, Mike, is that as I've traveled around, and you know I've spoken at over 30 different universities across the country, Bethune-Cookman is one of the greatest Christian universities I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. Judge Belvin Perry is our chairman of trustees, devout Christian man, strong Christian leader, love him. The rest of the trustees, we have a retired admiral on the board of trustees. We have lawyers. We have other kind of key community leaders that are committed to their faith. And then the alumni I meet, absolutely devout in their faith. And it's an exciting place to be. And I would say that, you know, I would like to see more Christian business leaders try to learn to take it off the talking points, kind of try to put aside, you know, black, white, Republican, Democrat, and try to think, hey, what are hills we can take? And we could then help create leaders that are going to impact the values and things that we want. We know that God's kingdom wants.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think about Bethune-Cookman being a historically black college that was founded by one of the best Floridians we've ever had with Mary McLeod Bethune, and then to think that it was started on what was a garbage dump. It was land that was the garbage dump, was created for a school for black girls.
Mm.
And now having thousands of students there at a Christian black university, it is such an honor for me to be involved there. And we have a number of students that are first generation, and this is really where their life can take off and head into a great direction. So it's awesome.
How cool is it that your dad led you in a time that had to be where he was standing alone? Like Claire is standing
right.
alone in her generation. Your dad stood alone
yep.
to stand up in a time. I just now see that more mm-hmm. clearly than I did. But I grew up just desiring and loving having friends that were different than I. And mm-hmm. I didn't think that much about it.
Right.
But boy, I tell you what, you can't avoid that now.
Yeah. Well, it's like I say, I think that we as Christians, we got to start thinking about what hills do we want to
mm-hmm.
we want to climb? What do we want to summit that we want to make an impact for, right? And I think that as all Christians, justice is something we should have a passion for. People that are disenfranchised, people that are not always welcome in every place, we need to speak up and be a voice for those people. The other thing I would tell you is, when I think about where the great leaders are going to come from in our community, in our state, I think some of the great ones are coming out of Bethune-Cookman. Hmm. I think some of them are going to great ones going to come out of the Family College of Law. And, you know, we might look at, oh, man, that super private school and that super wealthy neighborhood going to University of Florida and then going to Rollins, you know, whatever. And I'm not trying to say any of those are bad. Those are all good things. But, man, there's something about somebody who comes up from a different perspective and has a different level of work ethic and a different level that comes out of different environments that really can impact communities.
When you have a different kind of viewpoint as what you do, and I think it's great that you are not comfortable. That's what I love about John Crossman. You are not comfortable in staying within just the normal bounds of what many would think. Well, it makes sense why you would do that. A lot of your involvements are really, in my mind, kind of really different way of thinking, out of the box type of a thing. And that is obviously something that your parents so deeply in you. And I'm sure that's what you're doing with your girls as well.
Well, I'm trying to. You know, I think about it this way, that I think that Christianity is the healthiest way to live. That's been my experience, right? I think that conservative values are they're the best ways to get someone out of poverty and have the most joyful life. And I really believe that. So when I'm talking to people who have different points of views, what I want is to have credibility so I can talk about my views, and hopefully that's helpful to them. So what causes somebody to not listen to my point of view? I think the number one reason is that somebody prior to me, maybe it's me, but prior to me probably, who had the hat on saying Christian, had the hat on that said conservative, was really mean to them and hurt them. And I had a guy the other day was yelling at me, and I called him and was yelling at me, and I was listening to him, and he referenced a Christian that I knew was probably 20 years in his past. Mm-hmm. It's like somehow I reminded him of that other mm-hmm. person. And I really just let him kind of go because he was really upset. I could tell he wasn't a place that he really wanted to hear anything from me, and that's okay. But that's what we got to keep overcoming. You know, a lot of these hard topics, you know, we've got to do a better job of marketing. We got to do a better job of storytelling. And, you know, here's the thing, man. You know, if somebody wanted to change your my mind, you know, are they going to change our mind if they call us idiots or call us any terrible words? You know, it's not we're going to go, oh, wow, they're right. We are morons. Let's change mm-hmm. our point of view, right? Well, the same thing's not going to work for us by being insulting and mean to people who have a different point of view.
That's really true. Love goes a long way. And to have that kind of love for people that might see things differently, I think this is one of the things that is a hallmark for human nature, is that we tend to think everyone, if they're doing what they should be doing, they see it the way I see it. They see it. They have my opinion. And we know that that's not true. Opinions, as my dad used to say, are like noses. We all have them, and they're all different, and they're sometimes vastly different. But yet, God calls us as the church to be together, to love one another, to be kind one to another. And I remember last year on May 25th, on the day that you and I were talking about some of these issues in the bounds of how can the church be more racially united? How can the church be more loving to other people groups mm-hmm. than what they are? And it was on that day, ironically, that the George Floyd tragedy happened, which was a touchstone of the second half of the year,
right?
Being one of the most difficult times in American history. And we see what happens if you don't have that. If you maintain a heart that is locked in, if you maintain a heart that is prejudiced toward any aspect at all, after a while, your heart is much harder than you realize, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. And you know, but when we're in relationship with people and we can develop compassion and empathy, it was interesting. I spoke last week at the Young Republican Club of Central Florida. Great group of young leaders. And my message was talking about the importance of kindness, talking about the importance of marketing, and then talking about, you know, what mountains we want to climb and problems we want to solve. And I felt like quickly a lot of the audience got there with me, but there was a group that were really angry. They were mad at, and they were basically like, how would we ever, you know, be kind to these people that are so mean to us? And I said, listen to me. When Rush Limbaugh passed away, I saw people cheer on social media.
Yeah, they
right?
did.
And I said, so Nancy Pelosi will pass away one day. How are we going to respond? We are not going to cheer. That's wrong. That is wrong. That is somebody's mother, grandmother, family member, right? And so I looked at this audience and I said, listen, if somebody you completely disagree with politically, if they lose a spouse, can you send them a card and lean in and comfort them? If they have a child born, can you congratulate them? Like, yes, you can. Yes, mm-hmm. you can. And when you do that, it helps build a bridge to have healthier and healthier dialogue. And it was funny because at the end of my presentation, the people that were kind of the harshest on me were very kind. And mm-hmm. they shook my hand and we had some really good exchanges. And I think they finally heard me that I said, look, guys, there are people I personally don't like that if I wasn't a Christian, I just would hate them. You know, it's I don't naturally like some people. Naturally, I don't like them. And I have to really dig deep in my faith to lean in and try to have relationships mm-hmm. with some of those people. Right. But I will tell you, Mike, what I see so often on all sides is really hurt people,
mm-hmm.
really hurt people that need some compassion and need some healing.
I had an interview with Austin French on yesterday's program, and he was telling me about the fact that he went to a camp. It was a music camp, and his parents sent him to this camp to learn guitar. And he was all excited about that. But what happened to him at the camp was not anticipated. And it had to do with the state of his life, the state of his family. They were broken, truly broken. Mm. And the reason they were broken is that they were living one way, he said, is the life that they showed other people that they were living on a Sunday was not the same life that was being experienced by him in his own home. So he, by his own words, was a broken person.
Wow.
And, you know, not only broken by words, broken by actions by his dad. His dad, sadly, had been a worship leader at a church, but at home was a different person.
Mm.
And so we have that happening in our culture all over the place. And I believe the news media has really not helped the scenario, because there has been almost like a, you know, Sam Sorbo, I met her and we were talking at the CPAC, and she's been on my show even before that. But she's written a new book talking about the power of words. I think it's Words as Warriors or something like that is the title. But how that we need to reclaim things that we say to each other, because words today mean something different than they did to your parents.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that kindness goes a long way. Like every chance we get to lean in and say thank you and be kind. I go to the same convenience store a couple times a week. And so I see the same woman there. And I noticed that she had a burn mark on her arm. Actually, it looked kind of big. And I said, is your arm okay? And she's like, oh, I burned myself. I cook a lot and I burnt myself. And I said, is it healing okay? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, it's really cool that you cook a lot. That's awesome, because I don't know how to cook anything, you know, and she smiled. And I really try to be intentional with that about the people I interact with, particularly regularly, and doing all I can to try to have a touch point there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think that being aware of people's humanity, their suffering, making note when people are referencing something in their own personal life, something going on, and asking about it, you know, what is it? They will know we are Christians by our love.
By our love, yeah.
Right. I mean,
not by our offering.
Right.
You know, not by our, although serving is important, but they're going to know us by how we treat them.
Right. I had lunch today with a major political leader who has the exact opposite political views to me on almost every issue you can imagine. And when I saw them, they looked at me and said, will you hug me? And they hugged me. And we were talking about how both this person and I like to sort of respond to people on social media and things like that. And they were just affirming of me like, John, I really appreciate that you really try to be thankful and kind to people. And this person and I were doing some projects together. And again, we do not agree most of the time. But man, they've had loss. They lost a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through that season with them. And, you know, that I've had some times where I needed some help and some different, you know, political things. And they've been helpful to me. There's a humanity there, right? But that gives us the space to have hard conversations.
You know, I had a article that I recently wrote for the Main Street Daily News in Gainesville. And in it, I was talking about the words people say at funerals. And when a person is being remembered at that most heart-touching time of those that are left, because the guy who's died, he's not hearing any of
it. Right.
And it's too late for him to enjoy the words that are being said. But the words that are being said are usually not what they gave or what their bank account was or by how many degrees they had. What's usually talked about was how kind they were to people, and the acts that they did that showed love to people. Those are the things that not only are spoken of at a funeral, but are remembered by family and friends. And if we can live today in light of that day, of thinking about what is going to be my legacy, what will it be that I am remembered for? Would I be remembered as a hothead? Will I be remembered as somebody that was just outwardly mean and put people in uncomfortable situations? Or will I be remembered as someone who was fun and loving and generous of heart?
Right.
Now, of those two directions, it's easy to say which I would want to be.
Right. Well, I want to be defined by what I'm for, not what I'm against.
That's right? Good. Yes.
Like I love cheeseburgers, right? I hate cauliflower. I don't want people being like, man, John really hated cauliflower. And we're like, well, he loved cheeseburgers, right? And so in the same way, it's like I see some people on social media and they're always just hatred, 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 you know, to the left, to the right, to the, you know, whatever. And I'm like, guys, you know, talk about who you're for. And so I am, you know, I do a lot of work in the civil rights space. And Senator Rick Scott, Senator Marco Rubio, both very supportive of me in that work. And so I had a person on social media get really mad at me about being connected to those two gentlemen. And I said, well, who do you think? Like, I just, who are you? They were against those. I'm like, who are you for? Who is a white politician in Central Florida that will partner with me and work on these issues? Those two will. Mm-hmm. So if you're saying those two aren't them, who are you for?
Mm-hmm.
And they came back and referenced some guy out of Illinois. And I was like, well, that's fine, but he's not going to partner with me here. And so I was truly, I'm like, listen, like, if you're against those guys, I don't want to hear about that anymore. Tell me who you're for. Tell me what you're for,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe that I'm for that too. Like, let's lean in and make a difference, right?
Oh, I love it. Our church had a series called Speaking Redemptively. And I think it's something that we all need to be careful about, that we all need to really work hard to do. And that is to say, I want my words to be more positive than negative. I want to bring out the best and not highlight the worst. We all know there are bad things going on. And, you know, there's a lot going on in every news cycle, every day, that it just causes my skin to crawl when I think about some of the things that's happening. And I like the way you said it, meeting with a person that was probably the complete diametric opposite of you, and but yet you can fellowship, you can find common ground, you can find words that you can speak to that person that are civil and that are kind, and in the end of the day, we're going to be the better for it.
Right. Absolutely.
I believe we are.
Absolutely.
John Crossman is my guest. We'll be back with John. One more segment coming up. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Always a joy to have my friend John Crossman in the studio. John is one of the deep thinkers that I know, and people that are like John always inspire me. I feel always more, equipped to kind of think a different way than I might naturally or normally. And I think that's something that we need with each other. You know, the fact that going back to my interview yesterday with this young musician that I just enjoyed so much. His name's Austin French. Highly recommend all of you to get a hold of his music. And not only that, but go to his website and read about his life. And I think you'll be encouraged. I think you'll be inspired at what happened in his life. But he really tries to live in such a way that his words and that his actions, he was talking about being a young dad. He's got 3 kids under 5.
Wow.
Can you imagine that right now?
No.
I get tired just thinking about that right there. 3 kids under age 5. And Austin was telling me how that he was needing to rest and how that God showed him that rest wasn't a place or rest wasn't an occupation or a thing, but rest is a person.
Hmm.
And when he came to the Lord, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and my yoke is easy. My burden is light. There is rest in just coming to the Lord that our soul needs.
Amen.
So this kind of conversation, I think, points us into that place where it's the only place we can find peace and find rest in our soul. And that's doing things God's way, which is not our way. I have a real feeling that most of the time when I think real strongly on something, it's good for me to check it and think, now, why am I feeling so emotionally charged about this? I'm immediately suspect that I probably am more juiced than I am wise in that moment.
That's good. That's good. I mean, look, that was Judas's problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, I know that I've had problems like that, pushing my way and having to circle back. And sometimes you're right. What if I'm overreacting? That's coming out of my own wounding and not from a healthy place.
Well, I tell you, John, you're a guy that provokes that in me, and I love that. Going back to where we began today, we started off the program talking about John's daughter, Claire, who was recently awarded an award called the Rising Star. And it's because of her initiative and her work to produce a class of people, a group, a club in her school that would be a different group than what was existent before. And she was recognized for that leadership by the Orlando
Republican Women's Federation.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for your help.
Sure.
I needed it. And that recognition is so wonderful. One of the things that we're going back talking about Claire's age group, I had a recent conversation that was with a guy who really tackles, it's called the Life Issues Institute. His name is Brad Mattis. And he was telling me that there are amazing empirical evidences of the fact that young people today, which would be Claire's age, are becoming increasingly more pro-life. Are you seeing that as a dad?
Absolutely. And let's just talk about that subject for a minute. And a couple of things I just want to highlight. The first thing is, you can be a strong, confident, successful woman, even label yourself as a feminist, and be pro-life. Like the thought process is that you're welcome under the tent of women leadership unless you're pro-life, and then we dump you out. I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's to me, it's like it's the complete opposite of what, you know, my mom fought for, you know, with women having equal rights, that then you're not allowed to have your own voice. You know, like, so I would start with that I think that there's a lack of intellectual honesty. I think for young women to come up and say, wait a minute, you know, I have my own mind and my own voice, and I'm choosing this as my belief system, that should be okay. And just like someone's a different view should be welcome, this view should be welcome.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. The second thing is that people who are pro-life overwhelmingly are not anti-birth control. I have met so many people that are pro-choice that will say to me like, well, we know that the whole plan is to outlaw abortion, outlaw birth control. I mean, I meet people that believe that. They say it, they believe it. And I'm like, listen, I have been around conservative Christian circles for close to 50 years. I've never met anybody who believes that, ever. Never, not one time ever. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they don't exist, but like, that's not a thing. The vast, I mean, I would say 100% of the Christians I know that are pro-life are also pro birth control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing. And then the third thing I like to point, and so again, that goes back to intellectual honesty, right? That like, you know, young women coming up saying, hey, you know what? I'm pro-life, I'm pro birth control. And I, you know, I mean, you could have, those are thoughts you have together. The third thing is, you know, a woman getting an abortion is not a high five day for anybody. There's no scenario that anyone's saying, well, that's a good thing. At a minimal, it's a sad thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not good. And so, you know, I would think that we could agree as a society in a very just, you know, logical way. Wouldn't we want to see the abortion rates go to zero? Wouldn't all of us want that, right? And so there's some level of, you know, I think being a teenage girl and saying, nobody wants that. Who would want that to happen? You know, that's not a goal.
But sadly, that answer is going to shock a lot of people because there are many people who want that to happen. And because it's a money thing.
Yeah.
It's a business. And they don't want that business to be over.
You know, that's horrifying. That is horrifying to think about. But again, I come back to, you've said that I think differently, try to say things differently.
Yeah, you do, man.
And so that's what I try to come back and say. I think that's where both my daughters have come from, which is pro-life, pro-birth control, and, you know, what are healthy decisions for women? That's not a good day for any woman, right? And then, you know, the sexual revolution, I saw a feminist talk about this recently, where it's like, there was this attitude of like, we want to be able to live like men. And then you think about that as a goal, like that makes sense, except when a man's behaving badly and then living like that man. You know, a man being promiscuous is not healthy. I mean, I was, you know, like, I think I teased you about this. Like, I have a Christian worldview, but you could wipe that away and have a environmental worldview or a capitalistic worldview or a, you know, whatever we pick, you know, environmental, whatever we pick, and you'd say, that's not good. You know, raising a child is very difficult. Raising a child in a single parent household is not ideal. It is very, very hard. Mm-hmm. Having multiple households is not good for the environment. If you're a devout environmentalist, I would say you would want more people living in a community as opposed to living off by themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then we think about mental health, right? Is this a good mental health practice? So it always keeps circling back to, in my mind, it seems like the vast majority of reasonable people in our society would want to see that go away, go down to 0%. And let's ask the questions about healthy women. I always come back to when I'm looking at legislative things or counsel advice, I always think, what is the advice I give my daughters? You know, I don't want to tell other people's kids to do something differently. I would tell my own kids. And I always tell my daughters, you know, look, you know, you have the ability to create life. That is a huge responsibility. My oldest one's driving a car. And I'm like, you could take away somebody's life, mm-hmm. right? That's a huge responsibility. And thinking through how to make healthy choices about your body and how your body impacts other people's bodies, right?
Wow, that's so good. You know, think about, a few people think about it when they get in the car, the responsibility that is there. But it is absolutely there.
Right.
And sadly, many people's first thoughts about that or first realizations about just how important that is when they've had an accident and they see the ramifications from a moment, if it were texting or whatever. Some girl was texting one time in Gainesville and had her eyes down, had already moved over into a turn lane, but did not realize the cars in front of her had to stop. And I was the one that had to stop because the light changed. The lady next to me was slowing down. But the girl behind her was the one that was texting. And that girl slammed into the lady behind me. And the lady from behind me had no choice.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And you have this multiple car collision all caused by just having our eyes off what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the point of what we're talking about here. Our kids today, they're starting to get their eyes back on what's happening in life. And well, I think that's exciting.
They have exposure to information.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest daughter and I were having this conversation, and she was talking about men and, you know, men that are stalk women or treat women badly. We're having this whole conversation about that. They're more aware of a lot of negative things out there. And there could be sadness about that because of the loss of innocence, but there also could be empowerment out there mm-hmm. about healthy things that can be done and how we can provide safer, healthier communities.
Oh, I tell you what, it's so exciting to think about the Bible story of Joshua and Jericho and how you talk about an impossible situation. And I think that's kind of what our kids live in, what feels like an impossible situation that is around them. But what could be more impossible than winning the battle of Jericho by marching around it 7 times? What good could that do? And yet God told them to do just that. And in the end, the battle was won, but not by those marching. The battle was won by the Lord. And Amen. He's the one who's fighting our battles. And I know he's going to be with these kids, John. He's going to be with Claire and Ava as they are serving. And I just want to thank again you and your wife for the examples that you are and raising girls that are secure in their parents' love and really encouraged by the parents' guidance. That's such a wonderful thing.
Thank you. Can I say one just quick thing?
Yeah, man.
Just real quick. So an email came to my daughter the other day, and it was from the Holocaust Center. And they're doing a cool thing about diversity and inclusion. And because my daughter got this award from a Republican organization, they said, we want you here to have your voice and be included.
Oh, isn't that great?
Isn't that cool?
That's wonderful.
It is wonderful. And so that's kind of my point is like, because Clara's had such a values-based, warm, loving spirit about her conservatism, it's given her a place that now she's going to be able to have a table with all other people. And hopefully, maybe some of those people don't think good things about conservatives, and maybe Claire can help that. And mm-hmm. Yay Holocaust Center for reaching out like that.
That is cool. That is so tremendous. You know, the steps of a righteous man or woman directed by God.
Amen.
And I believe he is directing her steps. And you've got every right, my friend, to be proud of her, and a proud papa you are, and I'm glad that you're here. Glad to have you as a friend, too, John.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Well, it's always great to have John Crossman, my guest today. He is, give us your website one more time.
Oh, it's www.crossmancb.com.
All right. John Crossman, my guest on Afternoons with Mike, and we will catch you next time right here all across the Shepherd Radio Network.